But just grateful too that we have a Heavenly Father that we can rely on and turn to, because lots of times with our children, it's like, I don't know what else to do. Well, that's what God wants us to say. Look, I do. So hopefully tonight you will learn some new things. I would love, if you have questions, comments, I really like kind of more of a dialogue, but I do have a talk prepared, but I want you to be like, wait, what? You know, or ask your questions. Let us pray, and then I'm going to show you this just quick video. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you just for these families, the people that are here, God. They just come just with soft hearts and wanting to know more about how to raise our children, grandchildren, just in the admonition of the Lord. God, we pray just that you'll use this time, that you'll grow our discernment, our wisdom, just as we learn to navigate technology with our children. God, sometimes it seems so overwhelming, and it's changing all the time, but we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we just praise you for that. We thank you that you're sovereign. We thank you that every good and perfect gift is from above, but God, open our eyes to the risks that come with some of the things that we're going to discuss today. Help us not to live in fear, but just to feel equipped just to raise these kids for your glory. God, we thank you for who you are and that you are the wonderful counselor, mighty God. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. Okay, I'm not going to turn the light out. I think y'all can see it. Or would you like me to turn the light out? I think it's really more important to hear it. So.
If you go back and look at the long history of the Christian faith in this world, you'll see that Christians have always been very adept at taking hold of new technologies and using them for the good of others and the glory of God. So go all the way back to the early church. There's great new technology, and it was in some ways a communications technology, and it was the Roman roads, this road system that spread all through the world. It had been invented for a very different purpose, to carry trade, to carry soldiers from place to place. The Christians saw it as an opportunity to take missionaries from place to place, to communicate the gospel across these roads. Then go into the 1400s, and you have the printing press. And what happens is Christians take hold of the printing press, and really through the printing press, this new communications medium, they usher in this reformation that forever changed the world, introduced far more people than ever before to sound biblical doctrine. And so all through history, Christians have found ways to use new communication, new media, in order to carry out the Great Commission. And that's exactly what we're seeing with the internet. When the internet came along, Christians were very quick on the scene to say, how can we use this to serve the Lord? How can we use this to carry out our mission? And I see blogs as one way that Christians can do that. We can use this relatively new medium to teach, to encourage, to equip other people. And we've seen all through the Christian world people coming around, bloggers coming around, blogs themed around different ideas, finding affinity with one another, sharing truth, sharing books, sharing ideas, and I think it's been a tremendous blessing in that way. Here, one of the things we find whenever we study any technology is that every technology comes with benefits and it comes with drawbacks. And so we tend to see the benefits right away, and we jump on those, and we start to use that medium because of those benefits we see. But over time, we learn that there's also drawbacks. There's also some negatives that come with the positives. And one of the negatives we've come to learn happens through blogs and through other forms of social media is that we can be very quick to speak and very slow to listen, or we can really focus on depersonalized communication. So it's very easy to put thoughts out there and speak of others, and yet in a very detached way, so I don't have to look anybody in the eye, I don't have to see their face, I don't have to read their physical reactions as I speak to them. So one of the fears of life in this online world and communicating through blogs and other social media is that we'll lose the interpersonal part of communication that's so important. And so it's very easy to criticize somebody when that's just an abstract entity out there in this kind of fake world called cyberspace. Often communication is much better when it's face to face and we can focus on one another, we can communicate back and forth. For all the good that has come through the internet and through blogs, and there's been a tremendous amount of it, I do think we have to be very, very cautious about how we use it as well, to do our utmost to ensure we're emphasizing the great benefits that come, but we're also doing our best to mitigate the risk and the inevitable drawbacks that come as well. I think there's a good future for blogs, for the just this idea that anybody can have a voice, can speak to others, can write something that's of interest to them, and draw other people around those ideas. Yet we've got to ensure that we're doing this in a distinctly Christian way, that we're emphasizing godly character, love for others, all to the glory of God.
Want to spend our time today, just or tonight, just a little bit talking about how can we raise our kids to use technology for the glory of God. I've given y'all some handouts, but I want you, this sheet is the main one, kind of our outline for what we're going to be talking about. Some things that we can need to consider, just like he said, with everything, and technology is one of those, there are advantages and there's disadvantages. Y'all tell me, what are some things, when you think of the advantages of technology, what are some of them? Just shout them out.
Information.
Okay, you can get information quickly. I said in the last group, I mean, how many of us, I'm older maybe than some of you, but like had to use a card catalog or microfiche at the library for a project? They just can type something in and get an answer. May not be correct, but get that information. What's another advantage you think of?
Communication across geography.
Very, yeah. Right, keeping in touch with people, but also like for work and stuff. One of the coolest things when the pandemic hit, I did a Zoom. I kept seeing some of the kids that I work with at school, which was very difficult. But I did a Zoom with counselors all over the world that were experiencing the same kind of thing. And that was amazing. Like, that was one of the coolest experiences through the pandemic. So access to information, it connects people around the world. There's entertainment, there's educational resources. You know, our kids, like, there's tons of resources out there that are helpful. But when you think about all those advantages, what are some of the disadvantages that come to mind? What do you think? Some of them are just the opposite of what you said. Access to information. It's very unfiltered information. Our kids get a lot of information, and they don't always know how to process it, okay? And some of it is things that we don't want them having access to. Just like he said in there, people can be quick to speak and slow to listen, all right? How many times do we know people or have seen where they put out something on the internet or text something and then they wish they could take it back? It's like, ooh, you know, the only thing I'm on is Twitter and it'll say, that tweet is unavailable. I was like, yeah, because that person realized that was a bad idea. But we're also seeing things like health concerns related to technology. Obesity, especially with our children because they're on devices all the time. ADHD is on the rise because of devices and screens, insomnia, anxiety. There's lots of stuff. Cyberbullying, all of that kind of thing. I want to read to you real quick, let's see if I can get it to pull up, just the average number of hours. This was a recent study by the CDC, and it says, on average, 8 to 10-year-olds spend 6 hours a day on screens. 11 to 14-year-olds spend 9 hours. 15 to 18-year-olds spend 7.5 hours. The recommended time limits. Under 2 years old, they shouldn't have any screens. I'm going to confess, my kids watched Baby Einstein because I just needed a break. And so I would put that on. That was about it. One of them was a nightmare child, and I just was like, that got him calm, so that's what we did. 2 to 5 years old, they should only be on there no more than an hour a day. This is including, like, television. It could be an iPad, an iPod, your phone, playing a game, whatever. 5 to 17-year-olds, generally no more than 2 hours a day except for homework. As you're getting into middle school, high school years, they're on their screens a ton because of school as well. So those are just some things to consider. But when we look at this, We've got to keep our focus on, like my verse that I keep going back to is in 1 Corinthians 10, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And so our goal is to put some boundaries in place, lead our children to use their time, the devices, their lives for the glory of God. So let's look at some ways that we can protect our kids from some of these traps, some of these problems that come up with technology. Establish some family rules, all right? These are things that we can do. Establish some rules. If you have rules you want to share, please feel free to do so. But some ideas would be no screens at the table, okay, at mealtime, so that you're talking. Many people say no devices during the school week. We only do them on the weekends. I'm not saying these are hard and fast rules. These are, you have to set up what you think is good for your family.
Jennifer,
yes.
With those rules, what does it communicate to the kids if you say that with kids, but then the adults?
We're going to get there. We're going to get there. But I also think it's fine because I don't think it's realistic to say that the parents aren't going to have a phone or have things because they do it for work. I think it is fine to say there are different expectations for children because you're still developing. You know, these children are still developing. So we're trying to help you and protect you. A lot of this is going to come to discussion, which we're going to get to. But I do think it's important that we are good examples of how to use technology in a godly way. If I'm at the table and I'm telling my kid not to be on their phone, then I don't need to be on my phone. If I'm constantly playing games or watching violent stuff or whatever on my phone or device, but I'm telling my children I don't want them to do that, our actions speak a lot louder than our words. So I understand what you're saying, but I do think it's important for them to see there's reasons for this, you know, within reason. I wouldn't be living on the wild side and in sin and saying, okay, you can't do that. I mean, they're just, that's not gonna add up. Okay, so then, so set those rules. And like those rules, I know we've got a variety of ages kind of here in the room. It is best to set the rules when they're young. Like, so they know from the get-go, this is the rules in our family. I have, you know, and I'm sure y'all hear it with your own children, but well, so-and-so, they don't have the same rules at their house. I don't care. This isn't their house. You know, it's okay. You're the parent. Be the parent. So let them know these are our expectations, okay, and we can live with these rules, but if you step out of the boundary, then there's going to be a consequence. I mean, I had lots of discussions with my children. I was like, I don't care. You know, I know so-and-so has a phone. Well, you're not having a phone yet. You're not supposed to be their friend. You're supposed to be the bad guy for a little while. Gaming systems, when we talk about technology, video games are another form of technology. Lots of our kiddos at First Pres, like I'll hear them all. They're talking about Fortnite and playing each other. I still would limit that, okay? And it may be, those video games become a huge struggle with kids because it's time for dinner and your time's up. Well, let me finish this game, you know. And so I suggest you kind of give them a heads up. Okay, 5 more minutes and then we're having dinner. And then if they buck you with it, it's gone. You know, you've lost it for the next day. If it's something, and then the consequence needs to grow. Several people have asked me before, would you use it as a reward? It just depends. You know, I mean, if it works to change behavior, then that's fine. But I hesitate using technology as a reward because there's such a tendency to get addicted to it. No digital devices, I said, at meal times, and then no devices in bedrooms or private areas. They need anything that has access to the internet needs to be where you can be walking through every now and then and monitoring it. All right. Talk with your kids. Number two, about the potential dangers of consequences. I think sometimes parents Probably me too. Like, we don't want to talk about some of these things. You don't want to talk about pornography, or you don't want to talk about, like, sexting. And all of this needs to be at the age-appropriate level, but we're seeing problems with it younger and younger. So have those discussions. And it may not be your child that's sending any of this stuff or doing things, but they may receive it. Okay, so just talk about it. You can say, I heard about this situation. Let's talk about, you know, why this is right, wrong, that kind of thing, how to navigate it. Talk to them about their digital footprint. We talk to our kids here at First Pres a lot about it. They get it from me. They get it from our technology, our computer teachers. And what we mean is just whatever you do on the internet, even though it seems like it goes away, it doesn't go away. Just because that's in cyberspace or you've deleted it, you've left a digital footprint. If somebody wanted to get that information back, they could. I am so thankful that we didn't have all this when I was growing up. I would not be the counselor at the day school, and I was a pretty good kid. But, I mean, you think about it, that's a lot of pressure. I'm like, thank God I'm not the person I was when I was 18. But they're being videoed. I also want to stop and say, be gracious and show mercy to people with these devices. I mean, 12 and 13-year-olds with phones, just a bad deal. And so I would want somebody showing, giving me mercy. And so I'd hope, you know, they would do that with my kids too. And I hope I'm like that with others, because they're going to mess up a lot. But talk to them about predators on the internet. Talk about cyberbullying on the internet. We talk about this at school. Wherever your kids go to school, they probably do that as well. But keep those open lines of communication open. We said don't allow electronic media in bedrooms or other secluded areas. Number four, use parental controls. I have given you just a few resources on the back of that sheet. I put four parental control apps. Now, Bark is an app, but it's also a filtering system. One thing I want you to know, all of these will change quickly, and I'll give you a way to keep up to date on it. But when my kids were first navigating this, these things didn't exist. Covenant Eyes did, but the others didn't. Bark runs in the background of the devices, and so it will alert the parent to any kind of bullying language, anything like sexual promiscuity, anything like that. It alerts the parent. Like, they get a message to their phone. I'll tell y'all funny. One of my friends got a message that her kid was being bullied, and it was her. She had sent the message because she had let them have it about, like, not cleaning their room and da-da-da. And she's like, and then the phone alerted me to bullying, and it was me. So it was hilarious. She's a physician with pediatrics, like, at the hospital. I was cracking up. But these all, they will change. Filters are constantly changing and evolving. I beg you to have a filter at your house for your children. We have filters at the school that are wonderful. They're not 100%. Things still get through our filter. But if not, it's just, you're just pretty much throwing them out there. We live in these nice houses with security systems, gates. We've got all this security, but then we're turning them over to these devices. So get a filter. Norton Antivirus, it's not on there, but it's another one that is good. But to me, Bark is one of the best. Okay, let's go back. Sorry, I can get on my little soapbox. Number five, watch TV and movies with your kids when possible. I know we're all busy, but that gives you a lot of opportunity. It teaches you kind of their slang. It'll be talking about technology and apps, but it also gives you those opportunities to talk about what kind of life lessons are going on, you know, in this. How do you feel about the decision that person made? It's a great way to teach social skills. Most of it's rude behavior, but you can talk about that and develop empathy. Just talk through those situations. It's not always fun for the kids when you watch it with them, I know, because mine would be like, okay, we got it, Mom, like, enough. Okay, number six, monitor your children's phone and online activity. I told you those websites. But I also gave you, and I felt really weird printing this at the day school today, but emojis that they use, and then these initials. There are hundreds of these, but these are the like some of the main ones. A lot of times in our older grades, like we've had kids write or send things, and sometimes the parents will be like, I don't think they knew what that meant. And sometimes I truly don't think they know what it means, but sometimes I think they know it means something sexual or bad, and or they think it's funny or cool, and so they send it. But these are just things to familiarize yourself more if you have teenagers or tweens. I mean, it's good to know for everybody, but that's just something to keep in mind. Encourage your child to build real friendships. Our kids, unfortunately, lack a lot of empathy. I mean, you can look at the world right now. But it's because they're on devices a lot of times. They're not having communication. Now, at school, they are somewhat. Now, some of the middle and high schools, they're on their phones there, too. But work with them to realize it's important to see somebody's face, to hear their tone of voice, to see their body language, like when you're talking. Encourage non-digital activities. Play board games at home. Go to the park. Go on a walk. It's important for them to know that. Encourage to participate in sports, other extracurricular. You know, one thing that we're seeing, which is scary to me, is just a huge rise in anxiety with children. And a lot of it is linked to just being on those devices, but also being isolated from each other. You know, when I was growing up, you came home and you were disconnected from your friends. You know, like, I mean, I had to wait till the next school day or they had to call the landline to talk to them. Now our kids are constantly connected to each other, but they don't really have deep, intimate personal relationships. They don't know how to communicate. Number nine, and this is what we were talking about just a minute ago, model godly use of technology. Okay? Show them. I have conversations a lot. My kids are older, I said, but I talk to them. I have at one time or another been on most of the social medias, and I'm not anymore. I got on Facebook when Facebook came out, and I realized I had a bad attitude. I was grumpy. I compared myself to other people. I didn't really care if so-and-so loved her husband. Go tell them. You know, like that was what happened. And so I was like, okay, this isn't good for anybody. So I got off Facebook. Then when my kids got to the age where they were on Instagram, I got on that. And I realized I couldn't handle that either. I just didn't like it. And so, partly because I would waste so much time, I applaud the people that can use it well. But I talk to my children, and I encourage y'all to have conversations, just like even when they get to the point, Instagram, some of these social media things. How do you feel? Because, like, you're seeing pictures of activities where you're not included, you know. And I tell the kids at school, I'm like, there are going to be times you're not included. That's life. But we didn't have to grow up seeing pictures of it. You know, and so talk through some of those feelings and let them know, you know, I felt that way before too when I wasn't included in something. Like, it doesn't feel good, but it's life. And there's going to be times you're included and somebody else isn't. So just talking about those things. Your children are going to note your example. They are watching. I'm going to tell you, for number 10, here's just some warning signs and things to consider. Your children are likely to be misusing technology if you walk up and they quickly turn off the computer, okay, or they shut it. Sometimes even at school, they have iPads, the older grades, and they'll close it real quick because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. And we have ways to monitor it, but that's usually a sign. If they're getting real agitated or grumpy or angry when you take their social media or their device away, then that should be a warning sign. If they sneak computer time, some kids will, like, they need to turn their device in at night, okay? Like, to you, I don't know if I said that earlier, but they need to turn their device in when it's bedtime. But some kids, they will sneak it and get, they know where mom puts it or dad puts it, and they'll get it. Well, there needs to be a consequence for that. And then also if they lose interest in other activities. You know, there are kids that that's all they want to do is game or be on a phone or watching a video. That's not healthy. Okay? So those are just things, you know, where we need to set some limits and boundaries. Let me see. I did also give you a technology contract. These are just examples. There's hundreds out there, but here's a technology use contract and a cell phone contract. So when you get to the age and you're giving your child a cell phone, make them sign this. I would review all of these things. I'm not saying it has to be this one. It's just an example. But it's going through the things they agree they're not going to do or how they're going to use this to glorify God. Then they sign it, you sign it, but you're having these conversations. The technology one, just for any screen. I mean, this can be television, iPads, iPods, any of that. Those are just good things to have. And if you need to, as quick as technology's changing, it may need to be updated. I think it's important for them to know. Some of your kids may have done this before. They're like, that's my phone. I'm like, oh, no, no, no. You don't pay for it. Device, the iPad. No. I'm like, you don't own anything, really. So I'm like, everything you got because we gave it to you. So, and then also apps. These are just some apps to be aware of. I'm going to tell you at the bottom. I don't know what sheet it's on. This sheet right here, I've listed some websites. My favorite website out there as far as technology is that first one, that Protect Young Eyes. It is fabulous. They have a newsletter you can subscribe to that will send you every so often. It's not too much. But like any new apps or any changes with apps, things to be aware of. It's great. Like in my job, it's great as a parent. It just keeps you up to date because sometimes, I don't know if any of y'all are like this, it changes so quick that I'm just like, oh, forget it. But this keeps you kind of on board with what's going on. The other ones listed there, Common Sense Media, some of you may have used it for movies or television shows, but it also will rate your apps, tell you like if there's a risk or a threat. They call it a threat level. And then Smart Social and Social Sheriff are other good ones just to look up apps, and they'll review apps for you. I know this can be very overwhelming, so I don't mean to overwhelm you, but there's so much information with it. And it is, I think it's important that you talk to each other as parents. Some of the ways I've learned things with my own children and is like just talking to other parents. They, you know, somebody's child may be talking to them about something more than yours is at that moment. So I think we've all got to extend grace and mercy to each other. The other day I had somebody that a child had sent something mean, had text something mean on an iPod or iPad, and I just encouraged the mom. I was like, that mom will want to know. You know, and I think she's a safe mom. She's not going to go crazy on you. I was like, just call and tell her about it. It'd be a lot easier than sometimes than the school getting involved. Sometimes the school does need to get involved. But hopefully, especially in a church community, y'all talk to each other. Be vulnerable about it in a safe way. But we all have to know our kids are going to mess up with this. And we talk, you know, talk through those things. Does anybody have any questions? Anything? Yes?
As a counselor in children and development and all this,
yes.
How do you, as a parent with a child who does not have a, we don't have an iPod or iPad or a phone yet as a sixth grader, and I know a lot of friends do, how do you, I mean, Walt's like, 16, you know,
yeah.
I know everybody's different, but you don't want your child to be the very last kid, but you don't want to, we're trying to hold out as long as we can. Do you have
right.
any advice for navigating that or watching development with your own child?
I think, like, you need to, you know your child better than anybody else. So, like, one of the things listed on there, that Gab, I don't know if you saw that. Gab is a, it's a phone. Okay. So, there's phones, watches, but they do a very good job of filtering. Like, they can't do other things. And they have just, I think, recently developed a cell phone. And so, like, maybe giving them, you know, especially, I think it changes. Like, when they're at the, like, at school, what do they need? Like, if they need a phone or something, that, I mean, I always tell people, I'm like, they can go to the office. You know, they've got teachers. Now, I know, which we all, it didn't, you know, we'd play for hours and nobody knew where we were. But when they just go to middle school, I think that's when a lot of times we feel pressure to give it because sports ends a different time or an activity. But you can still, there's ways that, like, you can give them a phone. It doesn't necessarily have to be a smartphone. It can give them stuff that texts. I do think, and I felt this pressure. I mean, I'm just being raw. Like, you don't want them to be that different than everybody. But the older I get, I'm like, we weren't called to fit in, you know? And so if we know that this could be a danger, especially if your child has that obsessive personality or they tend to compare themselves to others, or, like, you're going to have to really, you know, pray about and decide on what those boundaries are. You will be. I mean, most kids that I've seen, that once they go to seventh grade, they have them. You're going to be the outlier if you choose not to do that. Who cares? You know, we didn't do, like, I did give mine phones, but we didn't do social media and stuff till much later. And I had scared my daughter so much that I don't think she got it till a lot later. And she's like, well, this just isn't very fun, you know, because I had talked till I was blue in the face. So, I mean, but I think it goes back to we're the parents. And this is what we think is best for you. I do, like, and part of that you're going to have to watch. I mean, because there's some kids that it's like their parents limit. Like, they don't want them to have the iPads and iPods and stuff. And my kids had friends that it was like they were very restricted. Well, then when they'd come to our house, if we had video games, that's all they wanted to do. Where my son's like, let's go outside and throw a football, you know. So I think it comes back to that balance. So, but it, I mean, it's not fun to navigate. So, and a lot of them, you know, it's everybody's got one but me. I'm like, that, a lot of that is not true either. We, this was, I need to do it again at the school, but we polled all of our kids and, like, most of them didn't have phones, even the sixth graders, but they were telling their parents everybody did, you know. I do feel like, just like he said in that video, when we started with technology, you know, we all got real excited about it and we jumped on it. Well, now we're kind of realizing we might need to back off a little bit. I don't feel like our kids in our older grades have as much social media as kids did a few years ago. I hope that. I mean, they, at least if they do, they don't talk about it. Because, I mean, we were constantly having kids on Instagram, Snapchat, all that. One thing to know is, like, a lot of our kids are on TikTok. That's one of the number one ways they see pornography. So be very careful with that. Yes, I like watching the little videos of golden retrievers because we're a golden retriever family. So my kids will send me those. I'm like, oh, these are so cute. But they can easily, with all the algorithms, I don't know if you've ever watched The Social Dilemma. It's a little scary. The algorithms, I mean, if they get into that, it's hard to get out. And the average age a child has their first encounter with pornography is 8. That's scary. So to think that our kids aren't going to see it, I mean, they're going to be like, there's much more of a possibility they're going to see something than not see it. And I don't know if I said this in the first one or now, but I'll say it again. I told my children, I think it's important for us to tell our kids, if you stumble across something and you're not going to get in trouble for coming to tell us. Like, if something pops up on the TV or, like, the computer, you're not going to get in trouble. Mom and Dad want you to come tell us, you know. So let them know, you know, there's some bad stuff out there, but we want to help you walk through this. We can do it as long as you're not trying to hide it. Pornography is a really scary thing. I know that y'all know that, but like one of the number one things like kids will Google is the White House. That's like one of the top dark web sites, which is scary. So like, I mean, there's a whole industry trying to get it. So we do have to be diligent. We don't need to live in fear. Lots of prayer. And God tells us to be still and know that He is God. So I'm praying for your kids. I'm praying for y'all. But I also pray for my own children as we're walking through all this together, because it is constantly changing. So anybody else have a question? My Trey Tracy is our IT guy at the day school. He was supposed to be here tonight with me, and but his mom passed away, unfortunately. And so, but he even said, sometimes people will call me just like about different things, but he's the guru with how to deal with a filter. So if you need help or you need to understand more about parental controls, you just don't understand something, doesn't matter if you're a day school parent or not, you can email him. It's just ttracy@fpds.org, T-R-A-C-Y, because I send parents to him all the time, like, ask Trey, I don't know how to do that. It's ttracy@fpds.org. All right, thank y'all so much for giving up your time and night.